And we got Jeffrey.
Yes, hello.
Great. Well, Jeffrey, just to let you know who we have so far then. Gene, Brenda, Mike, Denzel, Teresa, Joe, and Richard, Richard Allen.
Okay, Joe Morris.
Yeah, I'm Joe Morris.
Yeah, hey, Phil.
Yeah.
I couldn't get any answer.
Okay.
He said he'd call back later.
I called Dan Litton. Barb is not going to be able to be here, but Dan Litton should be here. He's not here yet.
I'm on here right now, Denzel.
Okay, Dan.
Okay, looks like we have 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 people so far, and we have a quorum, Jeffrey, so.
All right. I'll call the meeting to order. And first order of business, would someone like to say prayer? Okay. Dear Lord, bless this group of people and the endeavors that we have. Help us to see the truth and to guide us to do the things that are right, the things that are right in your eyes. Help us to be better people all the way around. Forgive us of our sins that we do as all sinners do. Help us to see the things that come up that needs a lot of attention, or so we don't let it go by, and we can correct the things that are wrong. We can do the things that are right. And once again, bless this group of people. If it be your will. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let it be so.
Amen.
So be it. All right. Now, I've not been here very much lately. I've sent out a message to most of you. I've got a job in Pittsburgh now. And this is one of my days off. I'll have off every other week. If I don't forget, like today, I about forgot. I just came in from town. The weeks in between, 1 week I'll be working day shift. I get off at 6, and I should be able, I'll be able just to get on and make it. So, and the other one, I'd have to call from work, and I don't think that'll work very good. So, I'll be able to attend 2 to 3 meetings every 4 meetings. Anyways, the 2 that I will be able to attend for sure are, they're every other. So I sent out an email and maybe we'll talk about, see if we can get that set up so that our business meetings are on those days anyways, so that I better participate in that. And then if I'm not here on the days that we don't have business meeting, then it won't be a real big deal because we're mostly planning anyways. And I'll be able to make part of them anyhow. Anyways, does anyone have an agenda set up? I don't at the moment. I've been working 12-hour shifts. I haven't had a chance to do a whole lot.
Well, this is Phil. There's a couple items I think we need to put on the agenda.
Okay.
First order would be the physical meeting, which Brenda's already got a place in Morgantown if we so desire then. And the other is website management. Put that on the agenda too, if you would.
Right. I just received my schedule, so I'll be able to figure out now when I'll be able to attend whatever. So really, kind of a goofy schedule. It rotates, and it's got, I work 2 days, and I'm off 2 days, and I work 2 days, I'm off 2 days, and I work 3 days, and I'm off 2 days, and anyways, it's, but I got my schedule now, so I know till the end of the year, anyways, what I'm working, what I'm not. All
right,
you were talking about on, December. Have a meeting on December? In December?
Why don't you talk about that, Brenda?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yes, Lee, I guess you weren't here for that meeting, but we had talked about it. Would be a good idea to have a face-to-face meeting sometime between the election and the end of the year or sometime. And so this was the date that we thought would be good, and if that works for you for December 10th, I went ahead and made a reservation at the Golden Corral in Morgantown because we need to have it in this district this time.
Okay. About noonish?
Yeah, well, I reserved the room from 11 to 5.
Okay. As it turns out, I'll be working the night before, get off at 6 in the morning, and so I would be able to, I could probably come straight down here and there and be there by 8 or 9 o'clock, and if I stop and take a sleep for an hour or two, because it's night shift anyways, beforehand, then I'd be better rested, and that'd work pretty good. Sounds pretty good, yes. So, and that's just about a month away, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Today's the 7th, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's another thing. We have to give 30 days notice about our meetings, so we need to get the information out right away.
Right, right. Is that December 10th?
Saturday.
That's good. All right. Anyone else have any comments about that?
Well, I probably will go. I just drive it after night if I don't have to.
Okay. Well, it's going to be at, from noon to 5, well,
yeah.
That's going to be later. Let's see. Was getting dark about 5:30, now it's 6:30. Just barely be able to make it. Well, unless you left early.
Getting dark earlier.
Yeah, it was 6:30,
right,
now it's 5:30.
Just went back. We gained an hour there.
No, it'll be getting dark about 5:30.
I guess that's almost the shortest day of the year. So, it'll creep right back up there. That's right.
Well, is there anyone?
Especially being a month away, that's going to take away a half an hour or better from what we gained.
Jeffrey, this is Mike.
Hi, Mike.
I suggest that we start, since Brenda has it 11, we probably should start at 11 so that people that have to travel for any distance. Now, I'm not afraid of the dark, but, you know, I understand, was it Denzel who says he doesn't like to drive at night? I understand that. So the earlier we start, the earlier we can quit and hopefully nobody's driving into the dark hours. Just a suggestion.
Good idea. For everyone, as far as that goes. If there's something, I'm having a little bit of problems every now and then at night also.
Yeah.
That would be better.
This is Phil. I would think that we could wrap up the meeting by 3.
Probably.
I have another laid out person, kind of a favor, if I may. This is Rich Allen down in Nicholas County. We have some people down here that would like to attend that meeting, but Morgantown is, Lord, that's close to a 4-hour drive for us. Is there any chance that we could move that closer to a more central location in the state? Something is the Geographic Center, Flatwood, someplace around in there.
The problem is, Richard, we alternate between the congressional districts, so we have to have it in this congressional district, and we do have people driving from the Eastern Panhandle out, so, you know, there will be a really long drive for them. And we always like to have our meetings in different places, and it just happens that this one's going to be further away from you, but sometimes we have it, like, closer to you, so... You know, I mean, it's not always in the same place.
Okay. We have had them in Beckley.
Yeah, we've had them in Somers. We've had them in Somersville.
Right, Somersville also. And we had one in Elkins also.
Flatwoods. Didn't we have one in Flatwoods?
Yeah, had one in Flatwoods, Burnsville.
Yeah.
So we've had them all over at different times.
Okay.
So that will be the first congressional district. And then do we go to the second or to the third after that? We go to the second congressional district after that, don't we?
I think this is second.
And how far down does it go? It goes down about Charleston, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that would end up being, Flatwoods or something like that would be more central for that. Anyways, and then after that, though, we might even be down as far as, potentially as far as Beckley, but that's, again, we try to get as central as possible. And we've got Gene from Beckley. We don't have Mike anymore. How far north does the third district go?
I don't have my map here, but I'm looking for one. I have a map with that. But.
Well, Somersville is in the 3rd District.
Okay.
Anyway, we can work that out at the meeting, set up the next one, the follow ones. I motion that we, like to make a motion that we accept Morgantown from 11 to whenever closing is. I'll second that. Mike Ashley, I made the motion. Sorry.
All right, Mike. Richard, you're not a voting member yet, but all we need is a second to move along with that.
This is Phil. I'll second it if that's needed.
Yeah, I haven't got the information. Did you get your stuff in yet, Richard?
Say that again.
Did you get your stuff in to put your membership stuff in already?
I'll discuss that with you at the meeting.
Well, we need to approve you, and we can do that here.
Well,
Okay. If you don't have it sent in yet, then we'll just discuss it later.
I have a problem with a political party demanding that people pay dues in order to vote. I understand that it is a fundraising gimmick, if you want me to use that word, because I can't think of another one. I am perfectly happy to commit to donating, oh hell, $50 a year, $5 a month, but to be required to pay dues to vote in a political party meeting, particularly if it's a political party meeting that calls itself the Constitution Party, just rubs me wrong.
Well, at the moment, we have no funds, no regular income, other than membership and dues, membership dues. And so that's the money that's keeping us going right now. And until we get something else figured out, then that's what we're going to go with. So we're basically we're paying the dues, but we're just volunteers. But that's just,
I will commit to remitting a minimum of $5 a month. I'm sorry, I won't pay dues.
We won't
okay.
Long then, will you?
Yeah, you just won't be part of the executive committee. You're still here. You're still in touch with us. It's just that the way our bylaws are set up, until we change our bylaws, then that would just put you at associate member, which is a non-voting member.
Yeah, we don't have
it. Invited to all of our meetings, all of our conference calls, and whenever we send out information, you'll be on our list to get the information that gets sent out. But and the only thing that it prohibits is your voting and holding an office. But we need lots of people. We need lots of associate members anyways. More people to give us, let us know that instead of a handful of people making all the decisions, we need more people, more input, so that we can make better decisions. And whenever something, whoever's here now, if we don't think of something, someone else, whether you're an associate member or not even a member at all, if you're in the discussion, bring it up. Well, then that becomes something that's important and nobody thought of before. So now we do. So that is the that's very important. So that's what I say. We really need lots of associate members.
Well, let me add just one more thing to this. I was first in contact with people down here in Nicholas County, Webster County, a couple other counties surrounding this particular area. And there's pretty strong feeling on that particular point. Now, all of them, many of them who are in the same financial situation that I am, which is being on a fixed income, are more than willing to commit to financial support over the course of the year, which would more than double what your dues are. The objection, of course, is to the dues being required in order to vote in a meeting. That's just not... now you're talking about a democracy instead of a republic. And I understand you've got it in the bylaws, and that's the way it has to be right now, but perhaps we need to have I don't know, maybe an executive committee meeting or something like that, and see if we can't formulate some kind of plan whereby people can make contributions to the party without being forced to pay a specific amount each year. I'll be honest with you, am I coming up with $25 in any one given month can be problematic. I make less money than most of you people make in a week. This is something I would really like to see addressed by the executive committee. All right, I'll get off my soapbox.
All right, I'll tell you one way that you can help us out with that, and that is as an associate member, you can also be a member on a committee, and those committees then help to make the decisions for whatever they are for. And if it's a bylaw change, then you get to lend your voice to changing the bylaws in whichever way you think needs changed. And then you can discuss it with other people in the committee, and then later on, it gets submitted to the executive committee, and then at the appropriate time, we'll vote on as whether we want to change our bylaws that way or not.
Sounds good to me.
All right. What's that, Brenda?
Well, I just wanted to explain that you can't really compare us to the Republicans and the Democrats because we're not a political party yet. We're a pre-political party or something. We're working towards it, but that's the only way we have to get funds. And actually, I just Googled on the Internet here, the Republican Party, how to become a member. This is step two, joining the Republican Party, and number five is make a donation. Of course, I realize making a donation is different than paying annual dues, but still, you know, they expect you to contribute financially. Now, I think that if $25 at one time would be a problem, I think that we could work that out so that, you know, you could just pay a little bit at a time and still become a member, you know, a full member, if that's what you'd like to do.
Well, I might be willing to consider that. Which reminds me, Brenda, I would hope that I'm on the email list and that you will send me the location and times for that meeting in Morgantown. But yeah, that's something that if you can work out, I would be willing to compromise my principles long enough to see if I can move within the party to get it reestablished. I have to. Now I'll save that for the meeting.
Okay, Richard, this is Phil. I have your email address as dukea98@gmail.com. Is that right? dukea98@gmail.com.
That is correct, sir.
Okay. Did you want to give your mailing address now, and I could send it to Brenda, or because I've got my database up right now.
Yeah, I can give it to you over the phone. I guess it's 908 Main Street.
Okay.
Apartment 236, Somersville, West Virginia, 26651.
Okay, great.
All right, now, Mike had a motion on the table that wasn't seconded yet. We need to deal with that.
Bill seconded it, but that was where it stopped.
Okay, I'm getting sidetracked then. All right, it's been moved and seconded that we have the meeting in Morgantown on the 10th of December. Is there any comments or suggestions? This is part of where this was going to. A suggestion that I would make would possibly be, and I don't have my map in front of me right now. I have was my telephone right now. So, we might look to see if we can have it a little farther south to centralize it, but and still stay within the first district. It would be about the only thing that would I would change with that, and something that you would want to consider. Of course, the only way to do that is to vote this down, and then we'll start over again.
Jeffrey, I think that would be a problem because we have a 30-day limit here to notify folks, so I don't think that's an option.
Well, it's,
we already voted on having it there.
Well, no, it's just been the motion, and it's been, you know, motioned and seconded. So we're in the discussion right. phase, but you know, I would say this, that if folks want to eat lunch there, you know, you might want to get there earlier. Although, you know, we have conducted meetings, and while people you know, eat lunch too, and you know, I don't see any problem with that. I'm just saying, you know. And Joe, do you need a ride? I could give you a ride.
Okay, I'll think about it, Bill.
Okay.
If someone could pick him up, I could take him home.
This is Mike. Part of my motion was to start at 11 as Brenda had booked it.
Right. Is there any more discussion or comments?
Well, yeah, I have a comment about that. Typically, we go in and eat before we start. That's why I reserved the room at 11, and so that the meeting would start at 12. That's what I had in mind. But if you guys want to start at 11, that's fine with me too. But that's just what we typically.
Yeah, we can start at 11 and have and be served while we're conducting business. That happens all the time.
Yes. Okay. And that sounds good to hear too.
In fact, we can start at 11, conduct some business, and then have lunch served at 12 or 12:30 or. Take a break for it, and then move back into session. However, we all feel that we need to do that. But that's why I suggested 11. Let's get going before it gets dark.
Right. Well, that may even be a better idea to actually take a break after we've been there for like an hour and a half or two, and then so that instead of you know staying there hammering on everything that we're doing, if anybody has to leave early, they can. If someone comes in late. And they won't miss the whole thing, and so it would be better off. Of course, anyone who wanted to eat during would also be welcome to do that also. But we could set it up to start early, and then during a break, you know, have a meal, and then hit it again right afterwards, since we'd already be right there.
Jeffrey?
Yes, sir.
I was just thinking maybe you'd want to poll the people on the phone call to make sure we would have a quorum. You know, it'd be good to have a quorum at our face-to-face meeting so that we could officially conduct some business.
Yes. Oh, yes. Well, that'll be a, it was a given, but it was in my head. I hadn't planned on anything other than that.
What's the magic number for a quorum?
Denzel, is that four?
Four or five.
Well, I'd have to check there.
I'm thinking it's five. Half plus one. Anyways, all right, so is there any more discussion?
Half plus one is
what?
okay. Right. And then, you know, just one more than that.
Alright.
So, and I think half, exactly half is four. So that would make it five.
Jeffrey,
yes, go ahead,
it doesn't have to be half plus one. Okay, it only has to be a majority, which could be...
Oh, a half plus whatever.
Yeah, that plus one sometimes throws things off.
Yeah, I think that's somewhere else, I think. But anyways, and getting that mixed up in there. All right, a majority then.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Any more comments or suggestions? All right, all in favor of having our meeting in Morgantown at 11 o'clock? Say yes.
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 Yes. Yes.
Any opposed, say no. Motion passes. Brenda, do you want to be in charge of getting the word out to everyone, or Denzel, or maybe it's going to work together?
Denzel, let's work together. We've got to get this list. I have that list that you sent me of all of those people. Well, let's talk about that. We don't have email addresses for all of those people. We might have somewhere in that box from Jeff Becker, but I don't have email addresses for all those people on our voters list. But we would like them.
What I'll tell you here in a little while, some information I've got from Jeff. There's a whole bunch of email addresses on MailChimp.com, and that may be helpful there. I don't know how many of them are good email addresses, but a lot of the people who have contacted us and so forth are on there.
That would be good. Jeff's supposed to be sending over a list of passwords again, which would probably contain that, wouldn't it? Or do you already have it?
I've got all those passwords from him. That's one thing I'm going to tell you about here when we get to it.
Okay, good. Good, thank you. So, all right, what's next on the agenda?
The website management. And, you know, I have not been able to get a hold of Joel, numerous tries, and Denzel was able to get the information, and he had already volunteered to work on the website. So my suggestion would be that Teresa can assist Denzel in, the website management. So I'm sorry that Joel never got back to me. And fortunately, Denzel did talk to Jeff Becker. So that's where we are right now.
And my understanding, we have access to the web page now with the password. Not the web page. We're still waiting on that. We've got the domain name, access to the domain name, GoDaddy, and all the other accounts, we had. But we're still waiting. The one thing we're waiting on is the website at boohosting.com.
Yeah, and I may have that in the stuff that Jeff Becker gave me. And I haven't had chance to go through two large boxes that I'll try to go through after the election here and make a list of all the things that Jeff gave me when I was over in Martinsburg. So, because I have no idea what's in those boxes. It's just a lot of stuff.
Okay, that would be helpful whenever you can get that out. And then we'll try to make sure that we share that information instead of having consolidating it into
Yeah, I'll bring all that to the meeting.
This is Mike.
Go ahead, Mike.
Along with the webpage, and we discussed that, so it sounds like it's in the works. How about the Facebook page? Who has that access, and who's updating it, and has the password admin status on that?
I've got access to the Facebook page. I'm not going to try to manage that Facebook. If we're going to have an active Facebook page, and it's been inactive for some months, it's hard to tell what stuff's been posted on there. But I did gain access to it. I have a password and so forth to get into it. I'm not going to be able to manage Facebook. I really don't know anything about Facebook. And I don't have it with it.
Yeah, fine.
Our secretary. If it'll be any help, I'll volunteer for that. I manage a page or two on Facebook right now, and I'm quite familiar with it.
That would help.
And this is Mike. I'd be willing to help Rick with that.
Okay.
And this is Teresa. I can fill in if necessary.
All right. Well,
Teresa helps me on one of my pages, too. I should say one of our pages. Let me interject something because I'm about to have to get off of here again. Brenda? Would you do me a favor and send me an email and let's talk about this extended membership fee thing? And folks, okay. I apologize, but I've got to get off of here. I've got another phone call coming in, and it's 8:19 now, so we're kind of past our hour anyway. Thank you, folks, and we'll talk to you all later.
Thanks, Richard. Thanks. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, Rick.
Bye.
I gotta hold my finger to keep from pushing the button.
and this is Mike again. Rick does have extensive use of Facebook. So, he knows all the workings of it and how to get our message out.
So, are you Pink friends already?
What's that?
Mike, are you and Rick friends already? You guys know each other?
We do know each other. We're acquaintances. We've worked on some political things separate. Rick is the owner of the West Virginia Conservative Voice, and he posts a lot of stuff on there. So I'm familiar with his work in that regard. Plus, it's personal, but yes, we're friends on Facebook as well. And I've met Rick a couple of times, once in Charleston, once in Somersville, and that's about the brunt of our contact. We do talk about political things that are going on in the state because with his work as West Virginia Conservative Voice.
Okay, good.
Great. We need to get something figured out. A single donation of $60 would be the equivalent of a associate's membership. So, you figure out something like that, and whenever that happens, then bring him into the fold, and we'll make stuff happen. And
what did you just say? $60? Associate membership is only $10.
Oh.
Yeah, membership's $25, right?
Uh-huh.
I was thinking $5. That's the old one. Okay, that's right. So it ended up being $120 then. Yep.
Well, I don't think we want to ask him to pay more than anybody else does, but if he wants to make payments until he reaches the $25 mark, I think that would be okay.
Okay. Now, it's been so long since I paid dues. Is our dues annual or monthly?
Annual.
No, the dues are annual. And it's from January 1st to December 31st, so we're all going to have to pay pretty soon.
Okay, so then a full membership is $25?
Right.
I think Richard was thinking that it was monthly.
Oh, wow. Well, that would make a
big difference. This now occurred to me. I think that's what it is.
No, that's not what he was thinking.
Oh, no?
He was thinking because of his limited income, he can afford $5 a month, but $25 is a big hit into his pocketbook. So he said he was willing to do that, but, you know, $25 was stretch his budget. You know, he's retired.
All right, I got you.
Yeah.
So then,
the rest of you retired know what he's talking about. So that's what he meant.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, he could afford as much as $5 a month, but $25 was a stretch for him.
Right. Okay.
So
that's cool.
Yeah.
After the first month, he would be an associate member then after the first month, and then we could continue from there, and then after 5 months, then he'd be an active member.
Jeffrey, this is Phil.
What? That effect?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, you know, I'm a lifetime member, but I thought since we're talking about membership, and I forget what a lifetime membership dues, what the dues are, but I just wondered if Brenda knew, just to clarify.
$500.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, I wouldn't ask him to start paying dues to become a member until January 1st, because there's no sense paying $25 or $5 to become a member now for 2 months.
Right. Yes. But now, he could start paying now, if he wanted to, and then have it set. Not retroactive, but proactive.
Right.
That's not the right word either. But so it starts on January. And then at January, he'd already have $10 or $15 paid. And so he'd only have to go just a little bit longer after that before he'd have the whole thing. Know what I mean?
Right. Sounds good to me. I'll put
that
in the email
to
him.
Right. Now back to the agenda, the web page and of course the Facebook page. Have we decided on who's going to be in charge of those things?
No. Denzel has got the information. You guys are offering to help, and I would suggest that after the call or in a few days or a week or something like that, you call Denzel, or you might even do it via email. But get together and figure out what's going on. And one of the things that we want to do is whenever you do get things set up and you open it up with a password and you make sure that it works, because I've done that too. Something that's been not been used for a while, and I use a password that I know what it is that says we don't know you're you, and so we need you to corroborate. Answer this question, which I have absolutely no idea what it is.
I didn't catch the voice, and I didn't hear the name. This is Mike again. Who was it said they had the information for Facebook but didn't want to work with it?
That was Denzel Sloan.
This is Denzel. I have it.
Okay. Okay. Just checking. All right. So, Denzel, this is Mike. I'll, in the next couple of days, I'll send you a note. And or we'll make a phone call to you and me and see what we can do to get Facebook back up and running, because we really need that.
Okay.
Yes, we do.
Jeffrey, this is Phil.
Do you have my email address?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, if you don't, I've got everyone's email addresses here.
Yeah. If I don't find it, I will track you down and hunt you down.
Okay.
Jeffrey, this is Phil.
Very good.
All right, go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, I think for expediency and everything, and since we have a quorum, I'd like to make a motion that at least the website be under the administration of Denzel, since he's going to do that, and then that the Facebook. Well, let's just go with the website first. I want to make a motion then that we go ahead and determine who will be the chief of the website, okay, website chief. So I'd like to make a motion that we...
Webmaster.
That we make Denzel the webmaster for the Constitution Party of West Virginia website, since he's willing to do that, and he had already volunteered, and he has... and we will get the rest of the information, so... That's my motion.
All right.
This is Mike. I'd like to add an addendum to his motion.
All right.
That we make Teresa Pangle the assistant to Denzel.
All right.
It's Phil's motion, Phil.
Yeah, I'm
I can hear your comments on that.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
So we need a second to move on.
I'll second it.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. Who seconded, Joe?
Yes.
All right. You get that, Denzel?
Yes.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that Denzel will be the webmaster and Teresa be the assistant. Are there any questions, comments? I wanted to comment that it sounds. I like that idea, and. Wanted to give you a thumbs up. And, of course, later on, then whenever we get everything straightened out, then we can share some of those the passwords so that if anything happens to any one of us, then we won't get locked out of our own stuff. Anyways, any other comments or suggestions? All those in favor of Denzel being webmaster and Teresa the assistant, say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Any opposed, say no. Motion passed. Bill, did you have any other agenda items?
I don't know that we need, you know, since we have, Richard basically, well, several people, you know, going to work on the Facebook. They can work that out unless you folks think we should, make a more formal, structure to it.
Personally, I don't see that we need to. If we've got, two main heads, and then anyone else who wants to help can. I think that would be sufficient. That is my opinion.
This is Denzel. I have a report I want to make about the information I got from Jeff Becker.
Okay, go for it.
And Jeff called me up and gave me... passwords and access to all these different accounts. Some of them are important. Some of them are really, we may not even use them because he had multiple email addresses and so forth that he was using. So not all of it is really important, but some of it is. And the big thing is probably more than anything is the domain name at GoDaddy. Now, as you know, we have we own five names. Three of them, if you type them in, they don't come up with anything. We just own them. Those are cpwva.net, cpwva.com, cpwva.info. You won't get nothing when you type them in. But cpwv.org, cpwva.org, those two work. And so I've been into that. I've gained access to that. No problem. Let's see about the expiration. I'll just let you know some of this information so that we can keep track of it. There's a renewal date coming up in April for cpwva.net.com.org.info. July next year, cpwv.org comes up. So, some of these, I don't really think we need, probably three of those. I don't even think we need them, to tell you the truth. I think we're paying for stuff we don't need to have. But, okay, let me go to the next one. Brenda, you want to know about these next two items, since you're the treasurer. BB&T, but the bank account, he gave me the routing number, but you've got that. The debit card we had from Visa had an expiration date of last September.
That card has been replaced.
Okay.
We have a new one.
And there's a tax ID number. I guess you've got that.
Yeah.
And you've got all the stuff you need for that. So there's nothing there that we really need. There's like a security code and a PIN. I guess you've got that.
I've got that.
PayPal. We have, let's see. I have it wrote down here. As I recall, it's $19.12. Let me check my notebook here. $19.12 in the PayPal account. I gained access to that. And probably the address needs to be updated and so forth, but that's okay. But we're okay on that. Probably what I should do, Brenda, is give you that information since you're the treasurer. We have an eBay account. I failed to get into that, but tell you the truth, it's probably not important. So we had all kinds of stuff, and some of it wasn't that big of a deal. Email addresses. They're used for different purposes. For instance, there's one CPWZ1776 at Gmail was used for Facebook. For internal purposes, there was Constitution Party WZA at Gmail. There was CPWZ at Gmail. And that was used, I think. That was used. I don't know exactly what he was using that for, but now I got into a couple of those email accounts, and also there's another one called Purple Dog Elephant. gmail.com. But that was just used for eBay. But these email accounts, there's about four of them. And, I did get into a couple of them and I started having problems. Someone explained to me what the problem was. So these email accounts are been inactive for several months. And so what Gmail does, they have really strict security, measures they have. And so they'll start asking you for security, information like phone numbers, and stuff. So I've been unable to get back into those accounts, at least to see the emails. I got into them, but only to get questions, security questions. So, it's probably as possible to get back in there. We're probably going to need to maybe get some more information from Jeff. Another possibility is we just, forget about those emails and maybe set up some new ones at yahoo.com. That's an idea. But, if any of you have experienced that problem and you have any ideas, you know,
I have.
Okay.
I have a Gmail account that I had not accessed for quite a while, and I was using it for the political stuff, but I've used it for like 4 years. So I went to access it the other day, and I had to answer a bunch of questions to get back into it. But I tried to access one of the accounts. I forget which one it was, that Jeff was taking care of before, and I don't know whether it was the Facebook account or the Yahoo groups, or maybe it was one of the emails. I don't know. But anyways, but I tried to access it and couldn't. I had the access code, but since it hadn't been accessed for a while, then it's like I told you before, it says, you know, we don't know if you're who you are, so prove it, and it asks you a lot of questions. And then you have to do that correctly in order to get into it. And I'm thinking that there's probably another way of doing it, but I don't know for sure, and you're right. The best way might be to just close that account and go with something else. The problem is if some of those accounts are accounts that we've used for communication, you know, that we put out there, say, hey, if you need something, communicate with us on this account. Some of the people who communicate with us are using information that's years, you know, maybe almost a decade old, and they've just come across it, and so they're trying to use the information that came from a long time ago, 5 or 10 years ago.
Jeffrey?
So if we eliminate those accounts, then that may eliminate some of the ability for people to communicate with us. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Phil. I don't think it's going to be that big a problem. And if we get the website and the Facebook up, we can put the contact information, any emails or, you know, methods of sharing information or getting information. We can put that on those sites.
I agree.
This is true. Yeah, you're right. Maybe I was overthinking it.
Yeah, I would like to. I'm pretty tired, and tomorrow's going to be a long day, election day and all. So, you know, I'm going to drop off here in a little bit. So, you know, I don't know if you want to expedite.
Maybe we need officially adjourn.
Before you do, this is Mike. I just want to update everybody on what's going on in Jefferson County. Of course, we've organized and have elected officers, albeit a small group.
And we have an active Facebook page where we're putting information out. And those of you that use Facebook, I would love for you to come on and like our page and keep up with what's going on down here or out here. And the second is we also have a website that it's active. It's still in construction, but it's active. So you can access our Facebook page through that now. It's cpjcwv.us. So if you want to kind of keep an eye on what we're doing and watch us build our web page up and use it, feel free to do so. But please do come on that site and access the Facebook button and come like us on our Facebook page.
Well, thank you, Mike.
I think page was. Oh, if Phil needs to go, why don't you, because the rest of us don't have to leave right now. If you want to adjourn, Phil, you can make that motion and then go do your thing.
Well, one more thing. I'm recording the conference call. Denzel, do you want me to email you the audio?
You can go ahead. I probably don't need it. But can I, before you leave, can I just, before we close up here, can I just have a couple. There's several unimportant things, but there's two other items on here, particularly the Magic Jack. Our Magic Jack number, you can dial into it and leave a message. And I gained access to that. And those calls get, from what I understand, they get put into an attachment at constitutionpartywz@gmail.com, which, at the, like I said, right now, we don't have access to that. At least we did there for a moment when I gained access to it, but then now I can't. That Magic Jack account, which we paid a fair amount of money for that, that expires May 7th, 2017. So it would be nice if we could get that going again and everything. But and then besides the Magic Jack Twitter, I got into Twitter. That's something we haven't used much at all, but we could. I think we can get some advantage out of that. MailChimp.com. There's a lot of emails, addresses in that. I gained access to MailChimp.com, and I don't know how dated those are. But YouTube. I tried to get into YouTube, but YouTube's connected with Google, and it's the same problem. Getting into those email addresses. Meetup, there's meetup.com, VistaPrint, those aren't that important. Then there's a conference call, a number of free conferencing. So that's about it.
All right. I was going to say, we can still discuss some of the stuff if Phil has to leave. When you leave, will that stop the recording, Phil?
Well, I'll just let it record. I can go do some things and I'll just shut it off whenever.
Okay. Well, we probably won't go much longer, but I was just going to say after, it's officially adjourned, we can still communicate with some stuff. We need to talk with Mike and Teresa and, Brendan and Denzel and I and then I'm sure Gene will have something to say too, but, we'll make it an unofficial meeting after this, but we can still talk about some stuff.
Okay, well, I'm just going to sign off, so catch you later, folks.
All right. Well, how about we adjourn first?
Okay. I'll make a motion then that we adjourn. And I don't think you need a second.
If we have a quorum, do we have to adjourn without Phil?
if we have a quorum without him, I wasn't sure if we did or not. So I figured it's better just do it like that. Do you think we've got some important information or anything that needs voted on after this?
No, I don't. This is Mike. No, I don't think we do. Just, you know.
Okay, well,
but if we wanted to conduct business, though, if there was something that comes up in the discussion, we would still be active to vote on it. Otherwise, you know, we'll just have a discussion.
If we have a quorum.
Yeah, if we have a quorum. I don't see a reason to adjourn without Phil, you know, as long as we have a voting quorum.
Could I ask something, Phil, before you leave and before we adjourn? Can we bring up another topic?
Sure, go ahead.
I'd like to do this while you're here. We had a letter from Liberty PAC asking why we, one of our members put that nasty letter to the editor about them in the Jefferson County paper. And, I think that we need to talk about that and see what we're going to do about that.
All right. That was me, so that's what we're going to, we can talk about that.
Okay. What's up with that?
The Liberty PAC has a reputation in Jefferson County of, putting out misrepresentations, misinformation, and untruths. And they've attacked several honest people in the county, and I felt it was necessary. They've done it before, and I was trying to keep them from doing so during the election. So I put out a paper, a letter to the editor, or actually an editorial, and they asked me if I had any, if I still had an official capacity, of which I do now, and so I added that on to it. It's a local thing. I heard you use the word nasty, Brenda. Can you explain why you used that term? Because there was nothing nasty about it. In fact, I got a lot of good feedback from people around the county saying it was an excellent letter, it was to the point, and it was very truthful.
They didn't think it was very nice.
Well, I'm sure they didn't. Yeah. I'm sure they didn't.
Can you read the letter they sent? Not right now. But the thing about it is, you know, we have to work with these other groups. There are very few conservative groups around that we can work with, and we don't want to alienate anybody.
Can you say who signed the letter? Was it a signature or just the PAC, the LPAC?
I don't have it here right now.
Okay.
I saw a copy of that. I think the lady was named Wrestling.
Okay.
Does that ring a bell?
Yes.
She's the director of LPAC for West Virginia, yes.
How big of an organization is that?
Oh, that's debatable. They make themselves out to be bigger than they are. There's one of the people that's been involved with that, and I don't know if any of you are familiar with him. His name is Chris Anders. S. Chris Anders is his Facebook name. And he has been running a group called Campaign for Liberty. And he ended up moving out of Jefferson County into Northern Virginia. And he's still running the organization through several people. Wesling is one of them. I find it, you know, if we're running an honest organization,
calling people out who don't, to me, is part of our political clout. And, you know, all I ask of any organization, conservative or otherwise, is that they be honest. And they're not.
All right.
And Brenda, I'd be happy to, you know, to explain. This is a long, drawn-out...
couple-year.
yes, episode with them. And I felt it was necessary to come out and stop these robocalls that they like to send out, that they're misrepresenting people because they believe in and participate in something called confrontational politics. And that Anders person I just told you about, he even admits they use Alinsky tactics because it works for the Democrats. He says, so it can work for us. And I fully disagree with that philosophy.
This is Phil.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Phil.
No, I was going to say, I just wanted to throw this in. I had a run-in with Chris Anders. I think it was when I was running for U.S. Senate, and he didn't seem to want to. He just cut me off. He didn't want me to participate whatsoever in what I thought was open to the public, and I should have been able to participate. But that's all I know is that I was a bit miffed at the way he handled me when they were having some kind of a function, and I just he rubbed me the wrong way.
They're not a trustworthy group. I think that's...
And Brenda, I understand your concern about working with other conservative groups, and Teresa can tell you and vouch that I have done that here. In fact, I have instigated doing that here, or initiated, I guess is a better word. But this particular group, they don't play by the rules. And when that happens, somebody needs to stand up and say, that's wrong. And I've done that in this case.
Okay. One of our problems is that you've had a lot of communication. We've had none, and we don't know, we really don't know anything about them. And we're just learning what they are, and we don't know yet.
Yeah, I understand. No, I understand. I'm not, you guys wanted to know what was going on, so I'm just kind of giving you the background for it. There's a whole lot more. There's a whole lot more.
A whole lot more.
Yeah.
Over 2 years.
A whole lot.
Actually, more than 2 years worth.
Yeah.
They've been around for a while. The name on that letter that you had is, she's basically just a name on a piece of paper. Somebody else is doing all that writing as best we can tell based on the other people that have had that position. So, again, they're just not a trustworthy group.
So it's more like there's one person behind the whole thing and using other people.
One or two, possibly, yeah.
Well, anyway, I don't think they're a group that the Constitution Party, wherever you are in the state, allies are important. I understand that. This is not a group that I want to ally with because they will stab you in the back at the first opportunity. And I think Phil saw something.
I was going to say that. I was going to say that, too. You're better off not dealing with them.
All right.
As much as you can, because they will stab you in the back.
And that's what, I believe I'm reading this into what Brendan said, but trying to figure out what is behind all these things and what we can do to make it right.
contact or any kind of interactions with them before?
No.
Okay.
No, I have heard
that tells me a lot right there.
But I don't, I've just heard the name. I may have seen it on an email or something. And that's the extent of it.
Yeah, well, no worries, and I'm happy to explain. There's nothing nefarious in what I was trying to do other than, you know, keep this group honest for the electorate, because we'll go back a year ago when Jefferson County was having a decision by the voters as to whether or not they would extend or continue the school levy that we have here. And they put out information that was absolutely ludicrously wrong. Now, the people who were trying to do that were not only angry at LPAC with their robocalls, their emailings, and their Facebook announcements, and all the things they were doing, trying to get people not to vote for the school levy. And I'll say up front, I voted against it, but not for the reasons that they did. Or they were saying. But what they were putting out was just wrong information. And what they actually ended up doing is, instead of having a discussion where the people could make a decision, the voters, the Democrats, the democratic process, let me say, not Democrats, but the democratic process was alive and well here. It's a referendum. And the voters get to decide whether or not. And they were putting out bad misinformation. And the voters ended up choosing the school levy 80 to 20. What they really did, instead of, you know, if they just put out the truth, it would have probably been a lot closer. But because they didn't, because they hyped it up and made, you know, and said things that weren't so, they actually drove people to vote for something, because they were angry at them. So,
and I just want to add that it's not always the case that they're putting out misinformation because they're misinformed. It's deliberate.
Yes, right.
They deliberately put out misinformation.
Why? Again, it's there's a guy out towards your way by the name of, help me, Teresa.
Micah Phelps?
Micah Phelps. If you guys look into Micah Phelps through your political. Anyway, he's the one that is teaching these folks, including this Anders person who's a disciple, that Alinsky-style tactics and confrontational politics are the way to move people in the direction that they want to go. Rather than using reason and logic and rational thinking where people decide based on what's right and wrong, and when they support a candidate, if that candidate makes a vote that they don't agree with, in a lot of cases they will hang them out to dry, because it's an all or nothing affair for them, 100% or nothing. They are bullies.
They are bullies.
Okay, well this.
This is Denzel.
Go ahead, Dan.
Are you referring to the? I attended a seminar in Jackson's, well, not Jackson's, you know, it's the Stonewall Jackson Lake.
Oh, yeah.
Put on by the Foundation for Conservative Leadership. Is that what you're referring to as?
I don't know that that's... Well, they teach you how to get up and talk and shout people down, like Phil experienced.
They like to get you on record and then possibly twist what you say.
To use against you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Because they like to put out half-truths. So, and they will Because I went to one of their trainings, a half of a training, and one of the things that I didn't like is that they'll bait you to set you up, to get you to say or do something that they can use against you.
Denzel, I don't know if that seminar you attended was that group or not.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it, but I don't know.
Well, that's the type of...
There were a lot of people from different, you know, most of them I didn't know, but there were a variety of people there from, you know, like tea parties and others. So, but I thought that maybe it might have been sponsored by this group that you're talking about.
It could be. They're libertarians. Yeah. They're libertarians, and their political group is Campaign for Liberty, which, you know, on the surface sounds rather benevolent, you know, something I believe in, Campaign for Liberty. But I don't see any liberty in shutting people down, putting out information that's purposely wrong, calling people out for things that they didn't say.
And not to say that all of Campaign for Liberty groups across the country are like that, but the people involved in the ones acting in West Virginia have been in it.
Well, especially the Eastern Panhandle.
Right, yeah. I don't know about all of West Virginia, but definitely anyone that Andrews seems to have been involved with Campaign for Liberty seems to be, you know, an issue.
There was a fairly
large... The only thing I'm familiar with is their voter scorecard or voter guide.
Right, there you go.
I have looked at that, and I have gotten some emails from, it's from them. And it looks like on the issues, they're pretty much in line. Now, they don't get into social issues. They are libertarians, as you say, I believe. But as far as the other issues, I agree with them on the issues.
I do, too, on 80% of what they put out. I have to, you know, I agree with them, too. What I don't agree with is their tactics.
Yeah.
And that's what I called them out on.
Well, this is Phil, and I want to thank you, Mike, and Teresa for explaining that. And, you know, I did have a problem myself, but I just want to thank you for an in-depth explanation of, you know, why and your reasoning and all. So, anyway, I'll go ahead and...
Okay, no worries.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and continue recording.
Did anybody see the actual letter that Mike wrote? Or did you all see that at all?
Yeah, they sent us a copy of it.
Okay, just checking.
Phil, thanks for hanging in here for this discussion.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You may be excused now.
Thank you.
We were unaware of the background of these people, and they actually wrote to us. And so I wrote them a letter and said that, you know, we didn't want to be, you know, if we were of like mind that we need to work together, didn't want to have any problems. I didn't really see much in the letter that Mike wrote, except that it was calling them out. The thing that, it's been too long since I read it. It appeared that, you know what's going on, but for the uninformed, it was harder to follow.
Sure.
And it was tough because, you know, I didn't know anything about it. And so that made it a lot harder to follow. And it also made it not look as good for you because you were on the attack. But you're making it a whole lot easier to understand now if they're a vicious organization. That are going to tell us a whole lot tonight, because that's something that we didn't know at all.
Who funds them? I don't know that we
know. That's a good question.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about secret organizations and not having affiliation with people who are involved in secret organizations. We have tried to uncover what this group is and where they get their money. Because they don't get donations from anybody. If they do, they get very little.
And they don't charge dues.
They don't. Well, yeah, they don't.
Yeah, well.
Well, for the longest time, they brag that they don't even. They don't use donations. They don't solicit donations. Now they are, of
right.
course.
Yeah.
But.
And
they.
Sanders, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Take it away.
I was just going to mention that, you know, he's attached to multiple groups. You know, you've got the active advocacy group. He's got West Virginia Christian Conservatives. There's just too much going on there that's hard to put together.
Yeah, and another thing is that the West Virginia Christian Conservative group is they sent out a robocall slamming Senator Craig Blair for something he voted on, and I think Craig even said that he didn't even that wasn't even how he voted, but when we looked into it, there is no West Virginia Conservative Christian group. Any PAC has to be licensed or recognized by the Secretary of State's office in order to do political action work. And they're not. And the number that they left was exactly the same group, the Campaign for Liberty, or the Liberty Political Action Committee. Same group.
Same person, yeah.
But using a different name that isn't even recognized. So that's what we're dealing with in this group. And Teresa can vouch that I don't go out attacking people willy-nilly. I'm not that type of person. I let everybody have an opportunity to speak. And
go ahead, sorry.
And so this was a time when I needed to let the electorate know who was calling them, what they were saying, and I used their own words. You know, the things they said about a commissioner or a delegate was truthfully their own words. All I did was put them out there and call them untrue, which they were.
And I find it funny that they sent you a letter complaining about being attacked when they advocate doing the same thing.
Yeah, they do.
So they're very disingenuous in much of what they do.
I'm trying to figure out what their agenda is. You say they're libertarian, they're attacking Republicans. And I remember seeing something. You mentioned in the letter they attacked, told lies about Espinosa and Speaker Armistead. And I remember, they might be on my Facebook page or something, but I remember seeing something about how they were attacking Espinosa about Common Core. And I wondered why they didn't attack Bill Cole about that, because Bill Cole is the reason we still got Common Core. That, you know, so what is their agenda? How do they feel about Common Core? You know, what do they really want?
Their agenda is they're attacking Espinosa in particular because they want to set him up to replace him with one of their people, which is what they do. Again, it's Alinsky-style tactics. When you got a commissioner who they claim voted himself a pay raise, And I think I, if you look at the letter, I say that was the state legislature that voted that pay raise for all county employees. And it was a Democrat-controlled legislature that did so. For them to say that about this commissioner, which they ran a candidate against him and beat him in the primary, for them to say that is a complete and utter lie. No other way to put it.
Okay, so you're saying there's a libertarian running against Espinosa, and that's what the game is here?
Well, not this go around, but they've been hammering him for the last 4 years.
Okay.
And I'm not a big fan of Paul Espinosa. I know him. We agree on some things. We disagree on a lot of things. But what I'm pinpointing is not what Paul Espinosa or Walt Pelosh have done. But what they're saying is wrong.
Yeah, this is Dimble again. I understand what you're saying there. And, you know, I occasionally get some emails from them, and I haven't paid real close attention to the emails.
Yeah.
Just listening to you talk here, I can remember some things that were said that I thought were just kind of not
out there.
Yeah. It was like things were being twisted or stretched a little bit, but yet I can't tell you exactly what it was. I have to look through my emails because I follow the legislature. I keep track of it. So I kind of sense what you're saying because I think I've kind of sensed that in some of those emails.
Okay. Well, listen, I'm not on a war footing with them. But this was one case where I nipped them in the bud. I hit them with the truth before they were able to get out their lies. And yeah, I'm sure they're very angry at me for that. And that's okay because you know I. When I'm standing up for what I believe is right, I will stand up for it, and that's what I've done in this case. And like I said, the people around the county thought that I wrote a very truthful article. I've had both Republicans and independents, whom we need very desperately in our group, said it was a well-written letter. They agreed completely with everything that I put in it, and. They appreciated it, but I got the word out. So, anyway, Brenda, did I answer your question?
Yeah, you did. Very, very good. Thank you. And, you know, that's what we expect you to do out there in your area, in your county. That's what we expect you to do. And because you know what's going on there, we don't.
Right. And listen, I'm not running on a wild hair. I mean, I pick and choose things very carefully, as Teresa can attest. And I have purpose in the things that I do, and if I don't, I don't do them.
Yes, I will vouch for that. And Mike's very good at getting facts. He doesn't go on assumptions or anything like that, and... in the 2 years that he chaired our Republican Party, dealing with Chris Anders, I had been aware of Chris for about 2 years prior to that with our local Tea Party. So I've seen his pattern in the last 4 years. And it's very clear on how he handles things, and it's shady, and I don't like it. And I think there are enough people in this county, and I think that's why Mike got the feedback he did, that, you know, Chris's reputation
is known. And so, not to say all Campaign for Liberty groups are like that, but it depends on the people, and Chris is one of those people that I don't trust.
Is this a mess?
I find it interesting that you all, that they've never had really any contact with you all prior to this. So that, you know, I think that says a little bit as well.
Well, I think Denzel and I both are on their email list. We get occasional emails. That's about
right.
We evidently get their surveys because I've read their surveys too. And like Denzel, you know, I agree with everything that they say that they want.
Yeah, well, yeah, I agree with most of their positions as well, but as Mike said, their tactics. And again, it might not be their tactics in every part of the group, but where Anders is involved and Micah Phelps, that's how they work.
And you say Anders has moved to Virginia?
Yes, he has. Yes, he has.
He can't be a player in Northern Virginia, I don't think. I think that's why he keeps his hands in West Virginia. That's my
first came from Hagerstown, actually, Hagerstown, Maryland.
Right.
And he came in and got on the political scene right away. I don't want to beat the dead horse because there's a lot of history here, but he came in and set up shop here in the Eastern Panhandle and in the state, and right away started building a machine. Now, it's a very small machine, but, you know, he was trying to build it up. And he's gotten some people that he's worked with. They started the, what are they called, the Liberty Caucus in the House. And I have no problem with that, you know. They're in the legislature, and they, you know, that's where we work these things out. But, you know, all I'm asking for any of them, I don't care what group it is, be forthright, be honest, give the people, integrity. They talk about principle, but they use it as a buzzword. And I say, without honest and integrity, there is no principle, because it starts there. So anyway, that's where things are, and I appreciate you bringing it up. We we need to talk these things out, and if I make a mistake, you need to bring it up and say, hey Mike, I think you a little overstepped your bounds here a little bit, but I don't typically do that unless I'm compelled.
Well, it's like this: we don't know you. You know, so we're hearing your side, we've heard their side, we don't know them either,
That's one of the reasons I advocate for a meeting face-to-face, so, we do need to meet and talk and get to know each other on a personal basis and see, who's behind the voice and what are they about and what do they stand for and, what are their intentions and their goals. And I'm happy to share those with all of you because, that's how we grow the party. And I'm very interested in growing the party.
This is Gene again, Mike. Does that group have a national affiliate?
Well, Campaign for Liberty, I think, Gene, is a national affiliate. And I think they're an arm of the Ron Paul organization. But there are several times when they've come across with the Pauls, both of them, because they've overstepped their, when you got to be careful who you're representing, and they were misrepresenting the Pauls at that point. I know this organization has had a successful relationship with Ron, and. So that's why I'm careful. You can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Just get the part that's bad. Who was that?
tell you what, I think what we probably should do is set this up and discuss it, because it is so large. It's probably going to take a while to everyone to fully understand it, because everybody needs to know what's going on. And if we can get snookered by someone, it will endanger the entire organization, and we don't want that to happen.
Correct.
So, I don't mean to be cutting you off or anything, but I'm just thinking, this is really too long to be, to go through too much in one night. We need to go through it in steps.
Oh, absolutely, and it's going to take a process for those of you that are completely, and I don't use this word to be demeaning, but ignorant of the group.
I understand exactly what you mean, and it's
those of you that have talked about this, and you look at those emails they put out, and like Denzel said, if it smells like fish, there might be something to it, and generally there is.
They're putting enough truth there to make you believe it, but they leave out other facts. They're very selective in what they tell you. They don't give you all
the facts. The uninformed will bite.
Yeah.
They will. They do that. They bite on. The uninformed bites on it hard because it's a very emotional rhetoric that they put out. That and it depends on what subject it is, but it's always an emotional rhetoric, and that can be dangerous. There's a lot of wars that have been started with emotional rhetoric. Ask Hitler. As we go along, if there's more, I'd be happy to talk about it more. We can discuss it in December as well. And if you have other questions, you can ask me individually, either email or phone. And Teresa has her, she's been involved with it too. So, if you want to get her perspective separate of mine, that's fine too. There's nothing to hide here.
The fact, or you stated anyways, this is where we need to do our research, that these people are tied with so many different organizations, which is another thing that we didn't understand either, is a bad sign in itself. And more than likely, there's something even deeper than what you know.
That
is that deep anyway. Has other ways.
We've tried to uncover this Acton advocacy group. We've tried to uncover that, and it leads us to Baltimore, actually, or
Harford County, Maryland.
Yeah. The Liberty Political Action Committee, or Campaign for Liberty, took over their Republican Executive Committee over there, and. That in itself, that's politics, but, all I'm asking is that they, people tell the truth. Just tell the truth. If Paul Espinosa did something and he actually did it, that's fair game. That's fair game for any politician. Hold them accountable. But you don't have to make up stuff.
Right.
Well, our this is Denzel. Our meetings, earlier some years ago, we were having physical meetings. We didn't have calls on the phone, conference calls. We had physical meetings every 2 months, different places around the state. And
right.
I thought that was really a very good way of meeting at the most preferable way. The problem is that. It's a lot of gas, a lot of time. And we started doing these conference calls. And personally, I think that we're too much into these conference calls. I think I'm not making a motion or anything. I'm just talking. I think it's good for us to have these calls on a regular basis, but I don't think it's necessary to have them every single week unless there's a genuine need for them. And I think we need to have about 4 physical meetings throughout the year. I think we've only had about 2 this year. We met at Weston, and I think there was a meeting at Martinsburg. But I think 4 times a year is a happy medium.
I don't disagree with that, Denzel. I mean, it's anytime you can meet someone face to face and put a personality with a voice, and if we're growing the party, as we bring people in, they need to see what we're about too, not just hear, but see what we're about. And I think our product speaks for itself. That's what brought me to it.
I'm glad to hear that.
So I'm looking forward to
this. And I also, I think, I'm sorry, go ahead, Mike.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm looking forward to December 10th. I think in person we can get a lot of work done figuring out where we're going to take the party over the next 2 years, because 2018 is just around the corner, folks. And,
yeah.
You know, we need to figure out where our strengths and weaknesses are and work on our strengths and shore up our weaknesses so that, you know, we need people on the ballot. I mean, I appreciate what Phil has done, and you too, Jeffrey, putting, you know, volunteering and putting your names on the ballot. But we need to get the electorate behind us and putting their names on the ballot that represent what we believe in. And that is, you know, a constitutional federal government, states' rights, and local control.
And I think that what Denzel was saying about meeting 4 times a year, I agree. I think, the conference calls are good in between, but I think the meetings could also help with building the party, because you advertise the meetings, correct? Yeah. So, you know, when you have it 4 times a year around the state, that gives us an opportunity to advertise to get people to show up. Besides, you know, that's probably better than trying to get them to show up for a conference call. You know, it's a physical location for people to show up and see what the party is about.
Yes. Well, when we started the conference calls, if I'm not mistaken, gasoline was right close to $4 a gallon.
Understand.
Yeah, and at that point it was breaking everybody up.
Yeah.
Even a couple times a year, whenever we had people driving 3 to 4 hours from either direction. I mean, Gene would come up from Beckley. Jeff Beckley would come over from Martinsburg, and we would meet at the 79 or something like that. But anyways, everyone had to travel a long, a good ways. And
it's a difficult state to traverse.
Yeah, and that made it really tough. That is how we. I think that's how we, you know, this conference call thing started. And it took off, and it did really well. And you know, one of the things about it seemed like we didn't get a lot done. Any one meeting, we didn't get that much done. But the fact that we were in contact every week, if we got one thing done per week, that's 4 things a month, instead of 1 or 2 things per month. Or if we meet every 3 months, you know, and you get a couple things done there, well, you know, you make some improvements. But whereas
if we met once a week, we weren't getting as much done, but not at one time. And overall, we were actually getting a lot more done, which was really kind of neat. But now we're losing the personal touch.
And that's, I agree, both are necessary. Both are necessary because you don't want to have a break in communication in between physical meetings, so the conference calls are good to have in between, but I think both are important.
Yes, I can understand that completely. And I think we're getting kind of comfortable with it. And it's, but now, and I haven't seen many people. Many people are here. I haven't seen for quite a while. I've seen Phil and Denzel and Joe pretty recently. Brenda not too long ago, but it's been a little bit longer.
Yeah, you met Teresa not long ago too.
Right, at the same place with Brenda, yeah.
Right. I haven't seen Gene for quite a while, but there are, and I haven't seen Dan or Barb. I haven't seen Jeff Becker. You know, the people that used to come to all the meetings, I've seen for a while. So, we need to get more personal with that. And, along with that, I've discovered that, whenever we meet face to face, even back whenever the gas engine was $4 a gallon, it was more fulfilling because we, you know, you look someone in the eye, you get to, feel the emotions and have personal conversations and things like that. And then whenever you leave, everyone has a closer bond. And in the long run, whenever you have people that have a close bond, they trust each other and they get more accomplished because you know this person well enough to know that if you ask them to do something, they say yes, they're going to do it. It's not one of those things where, you know, you ask them to do it, they say yes, and it might get done, you might not. So, you know, it's one of those things, you know, the difference between a friend and an acquaintance.
Right. Well, I agree with you, Jeffrey, and to that end, you know, those of us that are newcomers, Rick and Teresa and myself, you know, we need to build that rapport with the rest of you that you all obviously already have, having worked with each other, you know, extensively over the years. And, you know, we need an opportunity to build that as well so that, you know, there's trust and comfortableness that, you know, that's something we don't have that advantage right now. But, you know, we'd like to build it. And
right.
So that Brendan hasn't met me, and so she needs to know who I am and what I'm about, and I think she can get a better feel for that, you know, face to face, and so for the rest of you as well. So, you know, I think it's important, and I'm glad we're meeting on the 10th. I'm looking forward to that. Now, if I can make my schedule fit that, and I sincerely hope I can, because my schedule for December's not out yet, like yours. And but I have every intention of attending.
I just got mine yesterday.
Yeah, I won't get mine till the 16th of this month. I won't know my December schedule, so. But I'm going to put in for the 10th off, because I want to be there. I think it's important.
Yeah, one of my problems right now is I'm still new. I'm still on probation. I don't have any time off. I won't for another year.
I know that feeling too.
Things, you know, to figure out how to get things to work with the schedule that I've got. And hopefully pretty soon I'll get the 2017 schedule and be able to figure things out from there.
Is anybody left on this call?
Brenda's here.
I'm here.
Okay.
Gene.
All right.
Gene's here.
Well, I didn't mean to dominate the conversation, but I always appreciate the opportunity to explain myself.
Yes. Well, the better we understand each other, the better off everyone is in the long run.
Hang in there for a little bit so we could get some information, so I'm glad we did. One more thing, Denzel, we need to get these announcements out about the meeting really soon, because of our 30-day limit. And I was just thinking, this is December. Is it okay with you guys if I set up shop there and start collecting dues, since it's easier to collect dues at a physical meeting and start collecting dues for next year, which will be due January 1st. It's not too soon, right?
No, I think it's a great idea. Tell people to bring the checkbooks.
Okay. Well, Denzel, you could put that in the announcement that they could pay their dues for next year if they'd like to, okay?
Okay. So,
by the plan.
I don't know. I'm going to try to just get a hold of all the emails. It's unfortunate that our website, we still don't have access to it. But I'll just try to get all the emails that I can get together, send them out, and if any any that that I can maybe don't have an email to, I can send them a letter.
Okay.
And Denzel, I'll contact you about Facebook and see if we can't move that off the mark and start getting some stuff out.
Okay.